Good morning and welcome
to a new year at Eastern Mennonite University.
Welcome to our 236 new first-year undergraduate students.
And welcome to our new transfer students.
To our new seminary and graduate students. Yes, yes, sure. Graduate students in business, conflict transformation,
counseling, education, and nursing.
This year, we welcome a new vice president for enrollment and marketing, Luke Hartman.
And celebrate the beautiful new renovations to both Elmwood and Ready to Move In, Maplewood Residence Hall.
We're pleased to welcome new coaches for
women's soccer,
who play here this Friday evening,
women's volleyball,
cross country and track and field, and baseball.
And this year we'll enjoy our new Margaret Gaiman Art Gallery,
the renovated Main Stage Theater,
and the Lee Eshelman Studio Theater.
Many of you will study
ethics in the way of Jesus,
Spanish,
principles of microeconomics,
graphic design,
nursing foundations,
discrete mathematics,
foundational biochemistry,
and music theory.
University Chapel meets right here every Wednesday and Friday morning.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have chapel gathering in Martin Chapel,
and student-led celebration gathers on Sunday evening at 9 o'clock.
Today, some of you will travel to South Africa and Lesotho,
and later to Guatemala and Mexico,
and to the Middle East.
EMU is a place where together we worship God,
seek truth,
and care for God's creation.
We'll engage in community service right here in Harrisonburg,
do field research,
and serve others on spring break trips.
As faculty and staff, we want to create spaces to talk honestly with students about life challenges,
to encourage all of us to follow Christ daily,
and to walk boldly in the way of nonviolence and peace.
Welcome to a community where we sing, "Let justice roll like a river,
and wash all oppression away.
Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us, come now and make us anew."
Here we seek to learn from our mistakes and support each other in our disappointment and loss,
and celebrate our accomplishments and achievements,
where we commit ourselves to pray for the needs among us,
and for the needs of impoverished people scattered around the world.
Together, we form a community where God calls us to care for our mind, our spirit, and our body.
Welcome to EMU.
Please pray with me. Gracious and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, you have joined us into one living body. We thank you for these bonds that form the community here at EMU. Help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our life together. Work within us and among us. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in the unity of love and purpose, to uphold one another by word and example, and to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the mercy and justice we show one another, may we then be empowered to reach out to a watching and waiting world. In all our work and worship together, may your glory be revealed and your name be praised. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to academic year 2011-2012. The fall convocation is an opportunity to welcome new students, new faculty members, and new staff to our community of learning. This year, we welcome the largest incoming class in recent memory and a large and exciting group of new faculty and staff. Welcome to all of you. We also celebrate the return of the old hands, students, faculty, and staff who may have traveled hither and yon during the summer but have somehow found their way back to us. Welcome back to all of you. Together, the old-timers and newcomers form a new manifestation of a long and continuing community. Our convocation here is a time to revel in the hopes and dreams we have for the year ahead. But if we are to move into the future with confidence, we need also to pay attention to the past that brought us to this point. EMU, of course, has its own history as an institution and community of learning. The university we are today is profoundly shaped by the many students, faculty, and staff who went before us ever since our founding nearly 100 years ago. Over the next few years, as we begin preparations for our centennial celebration in 2017, we will have many opportunities to explore how the stories from our past shape our contemporary experiences and aspirations. But this morning, I want to expand our view even more broadly and consider our place today in a much longer tradition of higher education. The university, as we know it in the West, has its origins in medieval Europe in the 11th and 12th centuries of the Common Era. The first institutions recognizable as universities were established in Bologna, Paris, and Oxford nearly 1,000 years ago. Today, we continue to carry on many of the important traditions established in those earliest institutions. For example, the robes we wear at special occasions like commencements remind us of our origins in the monastic tradition, when instructors were monks and classes were held in cold, damp cathedrals. More importantly, those early universities established core values regarding higher education, many of which we still hold today. Academic freedom, for one, was written into the charter of the earliest universities, and it was a revolutionary idea at the time. Still is, come to think of it. The idea was that the university would, indeed must, be a free and safe space to explore the most important questions facing human society, to expand the boundaries of common knowledge. From their earliest days, universities carried out their inquiry within the context of a faith tradition. Of course, the pairing of academic freedom with a tradition of faith was not always easy. Consider Galileo's troubles with the church in Italy when he supported the heretical notion that the earth revolved around the sun. But somehow this notion that religious faith and academic freedom could coexist survived as a central ideal for universities even up to the present day. At EMU, we carry this tradition on. Our community of learning is a safe place where faculty and students can explore together the most difficult and most significant questions of our day, using all the tools of science and scholarly inquiry. And we do this within the context of a community of faith. As we gain deeper understanding of our world, our society, and ourselves, we also come to know more deeply who God is and how to live more faithful lives. Expanding the boundaries of what we have known, stepping on to unfamiliar ground, may be frightening at times, but that is what we are called to do together. In living up to our calling, we expand our own individual capacities, and we give a great gift to our society and to our communities of faith. Of course, some things have changed in the university since our medieval origins. We no longer study in cold, damp cathedrals, although at times S106 may remind you of what that was like. Thankfully, we have moved on from the strict medieval guild system of the early universities, where apprentices learned at the feet of their masters, and knowledge flowed only one way, from the top down. Our university is now more truly a community of learning. Students and faculty, supported by staff, collaborate together in the pursuit of knowledge. We discuss important questions together, across the status distinctions of faculty, student, and staff, and across the boundaries of disciplines. This is the essence of a liberal arts education, a free and safe space where the most difficult and important questions can be fully explored, and where the insights of each of us from our many different perspectives and areas of expertise can inform and enrich us all. Higher education in the liberal arts tradition is a great adventure, an exhilarating quest. Look around you and thank God that you have such wonderful companions on the way. Thank you.
We're going to join together in singing the EMU hymn. You can find it in the pocket in the back of your blue hymnal, and we'll be led by an ensemble. They will sing the first verse, and then we will join them in verses 2 through 4.
From the NIV version of Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need.
Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we're up here to introduce Lauren Swartzen-Druber, our president of EMU. But before we do, we're going to introduce ourselves. So good morning, I'm Mariah Elliott.
And I'm Nels Okerson, and we are your student government co-presidents for this semester. To all students, newcomers, and returners, welcome.
EMU educates students to serve and lead in a global context. Our Christian community challenges students to pursue their life calling through scholarly inquiry, artistic creation, guided practice, and life-changing cross-cultural encounter. We invite each person to follow Christ's call to bear witness to faith, to serve with compassion, and walk boldly in the way of nonviolence and peace.
EMU envisions a learning community marked by academic excellence, creative process, professional competence, and passionate Christian faith, offering healing and hope in our diverse world. To this end, we commit ourselves to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
As an SGA, we strive to fulfill the mission and vision of EMU. We will develop student leaders in a global community.
Be the bridge between EMU administration, faculty, staff, and the student body.
And cultivate community and improve university life.
This means we want to hear from you. You are the students we represent. And so, with the ideas we bring together, we can form EMU into the community we envision.
We want to look back to where this university comes from and move into the potential the university has.
Benjamin Berge and Michael Spori, who many of you remember, were last year's co-presidents, equipped the SGA with a vision for continual growth by creating the strategic plan.
We have the privilege to use this, and we hope to make the most of it.
The strategic plan will allow us to rise above the routine tasks of the SGA and proactively take on long-term goals.
We also have our fun events, like our Wednesday night meetings at 9, and we'd love to have you join in the conversation. We do have snacks.
We'll have Spirit Week leading up to homecoming.
And late night breakfast in the CAF. Who doesn't want to eat pancakes at 10 o'clock at night?
And we'll sponsor many other activities for your benefit.
This morning, we also have the privilege to introduce the 8th president of this fine university, Dr. Lauren Swartzentruber.
Before Dr. Swartzentruber came to EMU, he served as president of Heston College for 10 years, and 10 years prior to that was associate executive secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education in Elkhart, Indiana.
A Kelowna, Iowa native and Hawkeyes fan, Dr. Swartzentruber graduated from EMU in 1976 with a Bachelor Arts degree in Liberal Arts and earned a Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary in 1979.
In 2000, he completed a Doctor of Ministry degree at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary. His thesis focused on increasing Mennonite parental involvement in the college choice, which many of us may have felt.
After graduating from EMU, he stayed involved on campus as an associate director of admissions and part-time associate campus pastor. He was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1975 at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church near Kelowna, Iowa, and was a pastor at Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania.
Lauren is a member of Parkview Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. He is actively involved on behalf of EMU with the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, the Council for Independent Colleges in Virginia, and the Virginia College Fund.
Lauren is married to Pat Swartzentruber, a native of Wellman, Iowa. She is a nurse by training and a former healthcare administrator. Pat currently works full-time as a volunteer for Eastern Mennonite University and serves on several church-wide boards. The couple has 4 adult children, 3 of whom are EMU alumni, and 4 grandchildren.
On a personal note, we have noticed how actively involved he is with the student body by talking with students at his home and on campus, advocating for students at university events as well as non-university events, and supporting EMU athletics. Mariah and I have particularly noted when we met with him earlier this week how personable and professional he is. We look forward to collaborating with him this coming year.
Please join us in welcoming Dr. Lauren Swartzentruber.
Thank you. Several years ago, 2 brothers were making plans for a spring break trip when they discovered a really good ticket price from Detroit to London. And since their school was in northern Indiana, it seemed like a really good deal. They could drive the short distance to Detroit, fly to London, enjoy a great spring break, all for a very affordable price. And while they were sitting in the departure lounge in Detroit, waiting to board their flight, one of them asked the other, "By the way, what's the time difference between Detroit and London?" Well, the other one said, "I think it's about 6 hours." So if we're scheduled to leave at 5 p.m. and it's a 7.5-hour flight and a 6-hour time difference, shouldn't we be arriving sometime around 6:30 tomorrow morning? Why does our itinerary show that we're arriving at 6 o'clock p.m., an hour after we take off? That exchange led to a bit more research. They were, after all, academics. And they discovered that there was a good reason the ticket was so cheap. They had inadvertently purchased a flight from Detroit to London, Ontario. A distance of about 120 miles. You remember that little comment that flight attendants often make as folks are boarding a plane? This flight is heading to City X. If you don't want to go to City X, now would be a good time to get off. Actually, those two brothers made two mistakes. The first one was to purchase tickets to the wrong place, and the second mistake was to tell me the story. Because at the time, one of them was dating one of our daughters, and apparently he hadn't yet gotten to know me well enough to know you shouldn't tell me a good story like that, and I'm sure it might surprise you to know that I never let him forget it. And they're not married. I don't think it had anything to do with that, but I'm sure he didn't want to think about or anticipate a lifetime of hearing that story. This is Eastern Mennonite University, and just in case you got here by mistake and didn't realize until now that this is an academic institution, which you surely heard from Provost Niss, this might be a good time to leave. And I do realize that even though all of you did intend to come here this fall, everyone takes a different route to get here. During my first few days as president in January of 2004, an international student literally yelled at me from across the cafeteria, "Hey, Mr. President, you owe me $275. So I walked over to her and I said, "Hi, I'm Lauren. I don't believe we've ever met. Just curious, how is it that I owe you $275? And then she told me the story about how she had arrived as a new student for the second term. She flew into Baltimore from an international location, which was fine, but there had been a mix-up in signals with someone from campus who was to meet her there. She didn't have a cell phone. It was snowing heavily. She had never seen snow. And she found her way to the bus station. Unfortunately, she got on the bus to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, rather than to Harrisonburg, Virginia. Not knowing what to do when she got off the bus at Harrisburg, she flagged a taxi to bring her to campus. And even as she walked across the stage at commencement, 4 years later, she reminded me under her breath with a big smile that I still owed her $275. Now, the only reason that I want to remind us that this is an academic institution, which probably seems a little odd since that ought to be quite obvious, is that for the next few minutes I want to focus on the core values of EMU, and those values are rather unique in higher education. And on the back of today's program, you'll see our mission and vision statements, which you've already heard, and near the bottom, you'll notice the core values. EMU embodies the enduring values of the Anabaptist tradition, Christian discipleship, community service, and peace building. And incidentally, for those of you new to the community who may not yet have known about this term Anabaptist, it does not mean anti-Baptist. And it is much more than this, but in short, it refers to adult baptism. Specifically, though, I want to focus attention on the core value of community. In reality, we should hold all four of these core values together because any one of them is enhanced by the strengths of the other three. The very notion of community seems antithetical to what it means to be a deeply held value for so many in our culture, particularly those of us in the West and in the North American context. And it's a reality that some of you from other cultures have much to teach us about real community. And we do learn that both from your presence among us and from our experiences in cross-cultural environments. We tend in the West to think of our needs as individuals to be in tension with the idea of community. I'd like to suggest that's a false dichotomy. As we were reminded last spring in our attachment conference, as human beings, we are hardwired for relationships and thereby for community. So instead of thinking that rugged individualism should be the ideal for achieving our life goals, we would do better to understand that each of us is most fulfilled when we are enriched by the larger community and by meaningful relationships. Robert Putnam calls this the process of building social capital. Dr. Timothy Wilson of the University of Virginia makes the case, though it seems a bit bizarre to me, that our human mind can take in 11 million pieces of information at any given moment, but we are only consciously aware of 40 of these. And he also suggests that we have an innate drive for relationships that is embedded below the conscious mind. It's the conscious mind, he says, that highlights the importance of reason and analysis, the power of the individual. But the inner mind highlights the power of relationships and the invisible bonds between people. And he goes on to suggest that the outer mind hungers for status and power, money, applause. The inner mind hungers for harmony and connection, those moments when self-consciousness fades away and a person is lost in a challenge, a cause, the love of another, or the love of God. David Brooks, who by his own admission is not a touchy-feely type of person, writes about what all this means in his book, The Social Animal, The Hidden Sources of Love, Character, and Achievement. So, how does community get expressed in an academic setting such as EMU? At a very basic level, each of us has chosen this community for this time and place, unless you boarded the wrong plane. You chose this particular community for a reason, and to be sure, those reasons vary from person to person. And I may be wrong, but I'm guessing you didn't choose this community by mistake because the ticket was cheap. Frankly, we don't apologize for that either, because it is a value-added proposition. Some years ago, one of our distinguished alums, Dr. Robert Hostetler, wrote to the academic dean to say that he'd like to volunteer for a year of teaching in the math department. Now, Dr. Hostetler happens to be the brother of current psychology professor, Dr. Judy Mullett, and the father of education professor, Dr. Laurie Lehman. The family roots at EMU go very deep, but the dean at that time didn't happen to know him personally, so he did a bit of research to know if we actually wanted to accept his offer, and then he soon learned that the answer was obviously yes. Bob had spent most of his career teaching calculus at the Barron Branch campus of Penn State University. In addition to a distinguished teaching career there, Bob had co-authored a calculus textbook that many high school and college math students have used. Some of you have used it. It has sold very well and has gone through many editions. So he eventually spent a year on this campus. And at the end of that year, someone asked him to reflect on what he experienced teaching calculus at EMU compared to Penn State. He put it this way: the range of student abilities was very similar at the two institutions. Some students understood the concepts quite easily, some struggled, and a good number found themselves around the average. But I saw a big difference as the semester progressed. At Penn State, those who were struggling tended to fall further behind as the weeks passed, and many of them never recovered. Those at the top end of the curve did equally well in both institutions. But the big difference was that, unlike at Penn State, the stronger calculus students at EMU were available to work alongside those who weren't doing as well, and throughout the semester there was an improvement among all of the students. And in his mind, as a veteran university instructor, that was an astounding phenomenon that he had not expected. Now, let's be absolutely clear. Community in the academy does not mean we do each other's work, and it certainly does not mean that we pass another's work off as our own. Academic dishonesty is immoral, unethical, and it will not be tolerated. But community does mean that we enter into this enterprise with a commitment to respect each other as God created each of us, with dignity simply because we are human. And sometimes creating community starts with a simple act of acknowledging the existence of another person. It's a mutual exchange of being present, to just have a kind of reciprocity of presence. The old baseball great and lay philosopher Yogi Berra, in his inimitable style, offered an even more succinct definition of reciprocity. If you don't go to somebody's funeral, they won't come to yours. So at the risk of sounding like an old man who begins to lament that life just isn't as good as it was in the old days, I do think Putnam is on to something valid when he argues in his book, Bowling Alone, that a growing number and percentage of our population no longer experiences meaningful community connections. The data are rather clear. Membership and participation in communities of worship have been waning for several decades. So has membership in service clubs. Civic engagement, voluntary efforts to make our communities better is declining. Fewer parents of school children are members of the Parent-Teacher Association. And I didn't see any data in his book on this, but I'd have to believe that a parallel movement is a decline in student participation in student government associations, clubs, etc. One can imagine several reasons. As affluence grows, there's surely a greater tendency to think that one can live life independently of one's neighbors. Ironically, Bowling Alone was written in the year 2000. Remember where we were a decade ago as a nation and as a world. And here's what Putnam suggested could, at that time, help to create more social capital. It would be eased by a palpable national crisis like war or depression or natural disaster, but for better or worse, America at the dawn of the new century faces no such galvanizing crisis. Of course, one of the problems in framing it that way, among others, is that seems to suggest that community is limited to one nation. But another problem in retrospect is that since 2000, we've been involved in several wars. We have had numerous natural disasters, and we've been in an economic recession that is stubbornly resilient to correction. I think Putnam was wrong to think that such realities would result in a greater sense of community, perhaps in the short term, but not so much in the longer term. In fact, I fear that as people are increasingly threatened by these challenges, we have a tendency to withdraw even more deeply into ourselves. For certain, it's all too easy to see the other as a threat to our well-being. That little passage from the book of Acts, read a few moments ago, describes attributes of a church community, some of which are not applicable to an academic community. But we do break bread together, and we do share our needs and resources with each other. And in that sense, we are like that community in Acts. Let me close with one practical suggestion for fostering authentic community. It's a goal that I have set for myself, and that is to increase my capacity to resist the urge to be more productive by multitasking, which research shows is not really possible anyway, and to strengthen my capacity to be present with you as students, with faculty and staff members, with my wife, my children, and my grandchildren, indeed with the strangers that I have occasion to meet. A word that would serve us well as we enter into a new academic year is engagement. engagement in the EMU community, engagement in the academic classroom. One writer has suggested that a critical factor in any successful endeavor is to simply show up. Of course, that doesn't mean to show up in body but not in mind and spirit. To fully engage with the other opens the possibility that each of us understands in a new way what it means to be a part of the larger community. Thank you.
This is a special time for us to embody community here at EMU. It is my pleasure to invite the 26 students and three leaders of our South Africa Fall 2011 cross-cultural group to come forward and have a seat on the stairs to receive our prayers and blessings. Friends and family are invited to lay hands upon the members of the group while I continue with my introduction. So please come forward, friends and family and colleagues. Harlan De Bruin of the Physical Education Department is the faculty leader for this program. Professor De Bruin has led numerous programs to South Africa, including semester programs in fall 2007 and fall 2009. His expertise in the area of cross-cultural learning and in this particular region of Africa is, well, legendary now. Professor De Bruin will be assisted by two recent EMU alumni, Elizabeth Barge and Jason Ropp. Ms. Barge, who majored in peacebuilding and development, and Mr. Ropp, an accounting major, participated in this program 2 years ago and harbor a deep love for Africa. We are grateful for the wisdom, compassion, and grace that our faculty leaders so willingly share.
Wherever you are, put your hands on the person around you, and please pray with me. Creator God of the mountains and the desert of this beautiful, fragile world, Lord Jesus, who lives within us and among us, we bring before you all of these students and leaders who we know and love. We pray that on their journey, your spirit be with them every step of the way. May you open their eyes to all that they see, open their hearts to the people they meet and learn to know, open their minds to the complexity of the worlds they are entering. We ask you to be in their midst and that they discover your presence in Southern Africa. Thank you for the opportunity that we have as travelers and as learners, as people able to risk stepping out of what is often a comfortable world here at EMU, into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and dependent on the community which you will have with each other. We ask you to be with them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in the times of joy and discovery about others and about themselves. We ask you, Lord, that you keep them safe and out of harm's way. And we pray especially for Harlan, Elizabeth, and Jason. Give them wisdom, O Lord, for the journey, and a sense of humor for what comes their way. And we who remain here, parents, family, this EMU community, we commit to holding all of you in prayer these next 3.5 months. Lord, we join together in prayer for this community, a community of people from many cultures and many walks of life. Thank you for all whom you've brought now here to this campus. Holy Spirit, you who know our waking up and our lying down, we ask for peace, gentleness, and courage for each new day. Amen.